Devotional Meditations on the Questions of Jesus. Ever heard someone say, "That's a good question"? As I read the questions of Jesus, I was constantly saying, "That's a good question, and it deserves an honest answer." I'm Don Harris. Join me now, and together we'll examine the questions of Jesus. Question 57. How long must I suffer you? Luke 9:38-41. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, "Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he's mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not." And Jesus answering said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither." The disciples' lack of faith and their fears were very trying to the Lord when he was here. I suppose it still is. The disciples, not many days earlier than this incident, were commissioned to go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. They were given power over unclean spirits, power to heal the sick and raise the dead. The man in the story above obviously traveled far to find the one of whom the disciples spoke, and then begged him to cast out the demon in his son. Jesus did so. In other Gospels, this story turns to a conversation with the disciples. They ask later, "Why could not we cast him out?" The answer must have rung in their ears, "Because of your unbelief."
Recently, Don finished putting his book On the Questions of Jesus in audio format. It's a real joy to hear Don share these insights from the questions of Jesus in the Gospels. It's not your normal audio book, and it's more than just a time of teaching. It's a personal sharing time that really takes you into a deeper understanding of the Messiah and the things that Jesus wants to share with us. Don, why don't you take a moment and talk about the recording of On the Questions of Jesus.
Thank you, Ted. I'm excited about the audio version of this book, and almost everyone into whose hands I've placed this book are saying that they're excited about it too. These devotionals are approximately 10 minutes long. You can listen to them on the way to work, or listen to them at your lunch hour, or whenever you have time. But all of us, especially in these last days, need this time to get aside, to come aside for a while and listen to the words of Christ, to listen to our Messiah. As I was putting these devotionals into audio form, again, I was convinced that these need to be broadcast on radio stations just like this. They need to be in the hands of people. Because as you listen to these or as you read them, the design and purpose behind what's being said is for you to be in touch with our Father, Yehovah, and live your life according to the dictates, not of a church, not of a pastor, not of a doctrine or a denomination, but live your life according to the dictates of the words of Christ. He said that if a man loves me and keeps my words, you see, the promise has to do with keeping his words, not attending a church or involving yourself in behavior modifications or attempting to conform your life according to denominational guidelines, but keeping his words, as in today's devotional, an honest answer given to the question of Christ, will make a change in your life. You asked me to talk about the audio version of the book. The audio version especially has a new power in it. We live in a society that affords very little time to sit down, open a book, find our place, and start reading. And in the society that we live in, with CD players in every corner of our house and in the dashboard of our car, this gives every believer an opportunity to just take 10 minutes of their day and listen to a question of Jesus and give themselves time to consider it. I encourage people as they listen to a question of Jesus that when that question is over, reach over and turn off the stereo and just spend some quiet time before your Messiah, before your Savior, before your Father, and consider your life in the light of his question. The times in which we live are times that necessitate change in our life. They necessitate dedication. They necessitate separation from the world. I don't know how you're going to accomplish that listening to Christian television. I don't know how you're going to accomplish that going to church and immersing yourself in their worldly ways. I don't know how you're going to accomplish that if you don't spend time in quietness before the Father. The Questions of Jesus is broadcast all over the United States, all through Canada, and indeed all over the world on shortwave radio. It's on several different sites on the internet. My intention is to share these insights with everyone who will listen. You help us do that when you purchase the book or you purchase the CD set or the MP3 disc, and it's appreciated. So let me encourage you, at the end of the broadcast, when you hear the phone number or the email address, jot it down. Send me an email. I'd love to hear from you, and I'd love to get the Questions of Jesus in the book or the audio form into your hands and let it begin to do its work. We also offer combination sets of the book and the audio and the MP3 at substantial savings. So give us a call. Send me an email. I want to hear from you. Ted?
If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867 or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com. That's 888-578-7867 or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
The Lord wants and even commands us to have faith, saying in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. This is rendered in Greek, have the faith of God. The faith of God could be defined as unswerving, confident, and assured faith that what God promised, he is able to perform. This is why he could, without flinching, place the two adjectives, faithless and perverse, in the same sentence. We should place as much importance on this as the Lord did. Concern for ourselves and our doubting of God's promises can put us into the category of perverse. Look at the list of the damned in Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. As he considered his short stay here on the earth, Jesus became more concerned that the gospel would soon be placed into the hands of the disciples. His question was, how long shall I be with you? When Jesus tells his disciples the reason they could not cast the devil out, he used the phrase, because of your unbelief. He did not say that they didn't have enough faith, or their faith was not large enough. It was not there. In Matthew's account of this, it was almost as if the disciples asked him, did we need a greater faith? To which he replied, I say to you that if your faith were the size of the smallest seed, it would have been enough. The problem was, it wasn't there at all. You doubted my word. I gave you power and authority over unclean spirits, and you doubted it. Albeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. It's dedication to our faith that is lacking. It's not enough to have faith. The faith must be a real and viable part of our life. The prophet said that it is the very life of a righteous man. The just shall live by his faith. It's subsequently quoted in the New Testament 3 times more in Romans 1:17, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, in Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And then in Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. When a man lives by his faith, fasting is but a small thing. Fasting does not increase our faith, but it does inform us of its importance and progress in growth. When Jesus fasted, he didn't come to the conclusion that he was hungry. He came to the conclusion that man does not live by bread alone. Jesus did not tell them that lack of fasting or lack of prayer was their problem. He said that because those things were absent, it was evidence of a lack of faith. Perhaps a better rendition of the scripture would be, this kind goeth not out but by the prayed and fasted man of faith. To be faithless, is that perverse? Can belief and unbelief exist in the same spirit of man? It probably can, but it would be worth little. It's described well in James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James goes on to say that this man will not receive anything from God. It's poorly worded in translation when we read what the man with the demon-possessed son said to Jesus, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. In the Aramaic Peshitta, it is stated, I do believe, help my little faith. He recognized his own fledgling faith, and admitting that to Christ, asked for help. Fledgling faith is enough initially, but not forever. He expects us to mature and come to the fullness of the knowledge of God and unity of faith. Now we should see the perverseness of our fear and understand the frustration of Christ when he asked, How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? When you feel the same as Christ does about the perversion that fear and lack of faith causes in your life, you may not tarry as long around the thought of what if or toy with worst case scenarios. You should have courage to go and do as the Lord commanded, fearless and undoubting, pledging your very life. When you pray for Him to give you supernatural confirmations about things you're already sure that are to be done, and like the poor fearful Gideon when you ask Him to wet and dry the fleece over and over again, you might well be ashamed. The weariness you may cause your friend Jesus Christ when you're so weak in faith, is heard in his question, How long must I suffer you? A little longer, please, dear Savior. A little longer.
Ours is a quest to learn of our Messiah and his Father, Yehovah. Jesus asked questions of the people in the Bible stories to fulfill the will of God, and that was, as it remains with us, to bring the chosen ones closer to his Father. With this devotional, you can experience a daily exchange of thought with the Christ of the Bible. If you would like, you could purchase Don Harris's book entitled On the Questions of Jesus for $30, which includes shipping and handling. Just call toll-free at 888-578-7867. That's 888-578-7867, or write Questions of Jesus at AOL.com.
Thank you for joining us. This is Don Harris, inviting you to join us again next time as we examine the next in the series from the book On the Questions of Jesus.